You're listening to the Park Avenue United Methodist Church podcast. This sermon was delivered by our pastor, Reverend David Gilmore, during a recent worship service in New York City. We invite you to listen with an open heart.
Please repeat after me. There is a word from God today, and it's for me. Will you pray with me and pray for me? Oh God, we pause right now, and I give you thanks for affording me one more opportunity to proclaim your word. I ask you, O God, on this day to hide me in the shadow of the cross and save me from me. Be with me, O God. Cover me with your grace. Fill me with your power. This is my prayer in the name of Jesus. Amen. Weather-beaten faith. For purposes of full disclosure, I had another sermon prepared to preach, but I try to be obedient to the unction of the Holy Spirit, and this is one of those times when it was a last-minute change, and I said, Maureen, have you printed the bulletin yet? She said, no. I said, well, plug this one in instead. So just ride with me. If you don't mind, I'd like to spend a few moments today talking about storms. And I think it's very apropos considering what we're dealing with outside. Great weather if you're a duck. In our recent history, we have witnessed some devastating storms. Going back to 2004, we witnessed a tsunami that took the lives of almost a quarter of a million people. In the last 20 years, we have witnessed at least 19 hurricanes hit either the United States or United States territories, killing thousands, devastating millions of people. We have witnessed torrential rain, which has killed hundreds and left thousands without power. Yes, we have witnessed some devastating storms in our life. One storm in particular has affected me along with many others, and that was 2005's Hurricane Katrina. In the beginning, it seemed like the people in the area decided to ride out the storm Katrina. And either the people could not, or after a while would not leave, and they stayed right where they were, waiting for the storm to pass. And then, as we saw the massive destructive effects of the storm in and around New Orleans, coupled with a lackluster governmental response, some second-guessing took place. Katrina was so devastating, it seems that the structures, both physical and social, still have not recovered. I cannot speak for anyone else, but after witnessing so many storms, especially Katrina, after witnessing so much pain, after witnessing so much destruction, I got tired. Not exhausted, not weary, tired. I'm talking about being emotionally drained right now to the point where I could not watch the news without feeling helpless and powerless and useless. And these feelings drained me even more. I got to the point where I felt like I could not take anything else. And then when I had reached the end of my proverbial rope, another storm came. And another storm. It seems to be no place where we can go to escape the storms of life. Everywhere that we look, there is something disastrous which could upend, ruin, or end our lives. And no matter how much we prepare, no matter how hard we try, when, and I didn't say if, but when the storm comes, the storm comes. When the storm comes, the storm comes. Some storms are forecast well ahead of time, and we have time to attempt to prepare for what is to come. However, there are times when I have heard some of the best weather guessers. I'm sorry, some people call them meteorologists. Say that the temperature is going to be mild and the sky will be clear, and that same day it would be freezing, and I would be mad because I was caught without a coat or an umbrella. When the storm comes, the storm comes. Our word from God today is that a storm is coming. Life may feel like the sun is shining on you and yours right now, but make no mistake, the storm is coming. All may seem right around us right now, but the storm is coming, whether it is the Gestapo-like tactics of ICE against society's least, last, and lost, you know, our more melanated immigrants, or the intentional attempt to erase any history and or culture that is not male, straight, and white, the storm is coming. The elderly and poor having health and social security benefits threatened, the storm is coming. The cost of goods going up while jobs go down, the storm is coming. And if it is true that the U.S. is a Christian nation, I don't necessarily hold to that. Then in my humble opinion, we are the most unchristlike of Christian nations. Write that down. A storm is coming, and we can either remain unprepared or we can get ready to ride it out. We need to get ready. A storm is coming, and no matter how far or how fast we run, the storm is going to catch up with us. A storm is coming. And we can either learn from the last storm or we can suffer again with the next storm. But make no mistake, a storm is coming and we need to get ready. The question is, how do we get ready? Today's lesson tells the story of Jesus and his disciples on a boat ride. And while the storm is significant, the real focus of the lesson, in my opinion, is on the faith or lack thereof of the disciples of Jesus in the midst of the storm. Jesus has just finished teaching to a great multitude, and he and his disciples get in a boat because Jesus wants to cross over to the other side of the lake. Now, before I go any further, it's important to understand, and some of the Bible study folks will know what I'm talking about here, that gospel writers wrote some of the scriptures in code because it was unhealthy. I'm talking about not where you might go to jail, but where you might be killed for saying anything that was against that of the Roman Empire. So they would write in code so that only the intended audience understood the real meaning of the text. In this case, the boat is code for the church or the faith community listening or reading Luke's words. Jesus told the faith community to go across to the other side of the lake where the Gentiles or the outsiders were located. Jesus told the church to move beyond what they knew, to move beyond what made them comfortable, to move beyond what made them feel good, and go across to the other side. And Jesus is telling us the same thing today. I've heard it said, and I believe that outside of a few pockets, like that of Park Avenue United Methodist Church, the most segregated place in America is the church house on a Sunday morning. Too many faith communities will say, "We welcome everyone." Have y'all ever seen them signs? "You are welcome here." That just, I feel like somebody's scratching nails across a chalkboard every time I read that, because guaranteed they don't really mean a lot of times what they are saying. We welcome everyone when the truth is we welcome everyone who is like us. White people don't want to praise God with black people, and black people don't want to praise God with white people. Our Hispanic and Latinx siblings are only welcome in Spanish-speaking churches. Our Asian siblings are only welcome in Korean or Japanese or Indian or Filipino or Chinese, that's Mandarin and Cantonese churches. We are stuck. Stuck. Methodists don't want to worship with Baptists, who don't want to worship with Catholics, who don't want to worship with Church of God, who don't want to worship with Church of Christ, who don't want to worship with Presbyterians, who don't want to worship with Lutherans, who don't want to worship with Episcopalians. We are stuck. However, it goes even deeper than that. We will welcome everyone as long as they have a job or are not single parents and wear pants, or don't wear pants, and make a joyful noise, or don't make any noise, and are cisgendered, and are married, and who have well-mannered robotic children, and are teetotaling societal mavens. You know what I'm talking about. We welcome everyone just as long as everyone is just like us. We're stuck. And what's truly frightening is that some of us will actually say that we are Christians or we have Christ with us if we really, really, really have Jesus with us in our boat. Then we should go across to the other side, understanding that Jesus is with us and for us. We need to recognize that if Jesus is with us, that Jesus will make a way when we get to the other side. I said, if Jesus is truly with us, then people outside of our faith community will see what we see and also see that we see them and love them. It's time to get unstuck and travel to the other side. There are hurting people who need to know that Jesus is a healer. There are lost people who need to know that Jesus truly is the way. There are broken people who need to know that Jesus is a fixer. This is a faith issue. Do we believe that Jesus is able? Do we believe that Jesus is enough? Do we believe that Jesus is truly with us in our boat? Let me get back to the lesson. The boat is on its way to the other side with the disciples and a sleeping Jesus when a storm rises up and begins to fill the boat with water. Here we have another code word. In this instance, the water generated by the storm is seen as something dangerous or chaotic. There's no controlling the stormy waters, and the people of that day were generally afraid of the dangers or evils associated with stormy water. I was getting ready to start singing Stormy Weather like Lena Horne, but that wouldn't have worked. Some of y'all don't know about that, are you? Okay. What I'm saying is that the people of that day believed that the storms came from Satan. And some people today believe the same thing. When a storm enters into our life, the first thing that some of us want to say is, you know, the devil's getting busy. And please don't misunderstand me. The devil is busy. Satan is roaming to and fro looking to cause confusion. However, all too often, Satan causes confusion in our life or brings a storm because we have allowed Satan into our life. When we take our eyes off of Jesus, we allow Satan to get into our boat. When we turn our focus from Jesus, we allow Satan to enter our boat. When we believe that we are the reason for our season and not Jesus, then we allow Satan into our boat. Too many of our boats have become creaky and leaky because we have forgotten to invite Christ into our boat. I know nobody's going to say anything, but you know I'm right. You know I'm right. Too many of our boats are holy. That's H-O-L-E-Y. Right now, because we have set out and left Jesus on the shore. I'm talking about taking on new ministries or community initiatives, and we have forgotten Christ is a part of it. Talking about causes that we may take up where we want to wrap Jesus in the cause instead of wrapping our cause in Jesus. That went by somebody. But the truth of the matter is we give Satan too much credit. Many times the storms that we encounter are not because of Satan, but rather because of us. Us. Did I say that? Yes, I did. We think things we should not have thought. We say something we should not have said. We do something we should not have done. And the first thing we want to do is lay it at the doorstep of evil outside, when in reality it was the evil inside. If we're gossiping, we should not be surprised when the storm of confusion arises. If we are lying, don't be shocked when we are lied on. If we are backstabbing, don't be surprised if we are backstabbed. If we are drinking like a fish, we can't get mad when the doctor tells us our liver is shot. If we are on the down low, don't be surprised if we are down low. If we're getting stepped out, if we're stepping out on our partner, we can't be upset if somebody steps out on us. What I'm saying is that when we forget who we are and whose we are, we leave our boats vulnerable to stormy waters. Now, before we move on, there's one more aspect to a storm that we should take into consideration. There are going to be times when God will cause a storm to come into our life. That's our communal life and our individual life. Make no mistake, God is not a tempter. However, God does test us. There are going to be times when God is going to test us with a storm that will knock us to our knees. I'm talking to the saint who is trying to live right and live holy right now. If you're not trying to live right and live holy, just don't go anywhere, but I'll come back to you. But for the one who's trying to live right and live holy, I'm talking to the one who's worshiping God in spirit and in truth, and your boat just seems to keep on taking on water. I'm talking to the one who loves the Lord with all your heart, soul, and mind, and your boat seems to always be waterlogged. I'm talking to the one who feeds the hungry and clothes the naked, cares for widows and orphans, and your boat still seems to still be inundated or engulfed or beaten up by the waves. These disciples have been with Jesus and have witnessed all of the miracles of Jesus. These disciples have been taught by Jesus and broken bread with Jesus. These disciples are right there next to Jesus, but they really still don't know Jesus. Listen to this. There are going to be times when Jesus is going to bring a storm into our life just to remind us of who he is. This is a faith issue right now. There are going to be times when Jesus is going to bring us down just so he can lift us up. There are going to be times when Jesus is going to make us lose something so that he can bring about a greater gain. There are going to be times when Jesus is going to take away our safety net just so he can place that hedge of protection around us. And just so we won't say it was me, but God in me that saved me. Talking about a storm that increases or builds up or strengthens our faith. I'm talking about a storm that drives us back to Jesus, our help in ages past and our hope for years to come. I'm talking about a storm that draws us closer to Jesus, our bridge over troubled water. I'm talking about that reminder that the same Jesus who brought us through the storms of yesterday is with us and will bring us through the storm of today and tomorrow. talking about a storm that reminds us that even if we can't see Jesus, we know that he's there with us. Even if we can't hear his voice, we know that he's right there with us. Even if we can't lay hands on him, we know that he's right there with us. This is a weather-beaten faith. This is a faith that has made it through the winds and made it through the waves. This is a faith that has survived sickness and death. This is a faith that has survived brokenness, that's broken minds, broken spirits, broken hearts, and broken relationships. This is a faith that has made it through us being talked about and lied on. This is a weather-beaten faith. Now, I'm almost done. I love saying that. But when we possess a weather-beaten faith, we don't have to fret or fear, because we know that all we have to do is call on Jesus, believing that Jesus has the power to calm our storm with just a word. Jesus calmed the wind and the raging waves. With just a word, Jesus calmed the chaos and the confusion. And when we have a weather-beaten faith, we know that Jesus has the power to calm our storm with just a word. I'm talking to weather-beaten saints right now. With just a word, Jesus healed your body. Remember when? With just a word, Jesus brought you peace in the midst of your storm. Remember when? With just a word, Jesus took away your taste for waste. Remember when? With just a word, Jesus brought you your soulmate. Remember when? With just a word, Jesus put food on your table, gave you a new job, brought your family back together again, gave you hope. Remember when? With just a word, Jesus made you a walking, talking testimony to God's goodness. With just a word, I'm talking to weather-beaten believers right now. Do you know that Jesus is with you? No matter what your situation, no matter what your condition, no matter what your circumstance, Jesus is with you right now. Right now. When you have a weather-beaten faith, you know that you can tell everybody, I don't know how, but as my grandmother used to say, I know that I know. When you have a weather-beaten faith, you can praise Jesus even in the midst of your storm, because you know Jesus has the power to bring you through. I'm talking about praising Jesus before your blessing comes, believing that your blessing is on the way. I'm talking about praising God before your deliverance comes, knowing that your deliverer is on the way. I'm talking about praising Jesus before your redemption comes, believing that your Redeemer truly lives. Someone here today is going through a storm and you think you're all alone. You're not. Someone listening today is going through a storm and you think that no one cares. Someone does. His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. Won't you try Jesus today? And to all I offer, shalom and amen.
Thanks for spending time with us. We hope today's message brought peace and inspiration to your week. To learn more about Park Avenue United Methodist Church, visit us online at paumcnyc.org. Grace and peace to you.